Good morning and welcome to this week's episode of the Legislative Update. This week my guest is Representative Robin Weiss of Hertzfield, of course the Speaker of the House this session, and very pleased to have the Speaker back with us on the show this week. Good morning, Mr. Speaker.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on again.
Now that we're getting closer to the end of April, it's kind of what's been traditionally called the third period of the legislative session, and a lot's been happening down there.
Yeah, it's certainly getting busy and tense, because, of course, now it's kind of down to your final opportunity to get something you want to the finish line. So certainly, things get a little more tense. Tempers flare here and there, I think we're still on track. The goal for the legislature is to wrap up April 30th, leave a few extra days because, one, there's a lot of uncertainty on the federal level, for example, and, there's probably a good chance we may have to call ourselves into a special session potentially to deal with some issues, and I'll just mention one issue is that three of our communities who've been approved for FEMA funding for wastewater, lagoon repairs or whatever, $17 million just vanished overnight. And, the projects were already shovel ready, they're ready to start, and all of a sudden that money's gone, so we're looking from a state perspective. We need those projects to go forward. So there's $17 million now that we're going to attempt to cover to ensure that these get done. So that's just an example of there could be more coming forward. So certainly changed our outlook on how we're budgeting here and the type of you might say reserves we want left when we leave here. So, picture has changed.
I was going to say, I would imagine those budget forecasts that you got here a few weeks back could be outdated fairly quickly, depending on what's going on at the federal level with the uncertainty there.
Yeah, I mean, our last March forecast, we're going to be several hundred million less than our January forecast alone as far as for the state coffers, and that was based on oil prices that are already now lower. They had dropped the oil price forecast, but oil prices are already lower than that forecast now. That certainly causes concern, and we have to take a hard look then at shaving some more budget. Unfortunately, some aren't going to get what they were hoping for because we need to be in a solid position going into next session. We certainly don't want mass just cuts. We don't want the allotments to kick in, which could happen if revenue dips way below our forecast. So these are all issues now that we're trying to reconcile in the last 2 weeks.
And, of course, that factors into the fact that you've got to leave town with a balanced budget as well. So,
definitely. Yeah, our Constitution, we have to have a balanced budget. And, our goal is to have to leave here with money in the bank to ensure that we can maybe cover if the revenue is lower than expected. And I know we've been criticized in the past for having conservative budgets, and then our forecasts are conservative, and then we ended up with a lot of money in some of our funds when we started the next session. But I've always considered that a really good thing. That's a lot better than showing up and somehow we're short several hundred million, and how do we fill that gap? So that's where we're at.
All right. And, of course, one of the big issues that's been a big issue all session long and a lot of public interest, and there's been some interesting things happening with regard to the topic this past week as well. Representative Weiss, and maybe you could talk just a little bit about where things are. The numbers are all over the board here now in the last week or so regarding the property tax relief bill.
That one will certainly – it's going to be one of the last – bills I think we resolve. the House, well, the House passed three property tax bills. The Senate sent over the main one, I guess, which was 1176. The House sent it over with 1450 credit for a primary residence. The Senate now amended it down to 1250 and sent it back. And then they've been sitting on the other two bills. The one which was SCI had sponsored, which gave property tax relief to all classes of property. And then there was another one that just bought down school meals a bit. So now here on our side, we're trying to understand, because the Senate dropped the credit to 1250. Now they modified the school buy-down bill to put 1650 in for primary residence credit. So there'll be some conference committees, you know, and I think, you know, from the House perspective, you know, we're trying to fit all the numbers together, and I think we want to do the most we can do for property tax relief that's sustainable. You know, what we do this session, we don't want to have to go into next session and say, sorry, we're going to take some of it away. So that's kind of really where the House position is. So there'll be some interesting discussions. But they're all alive and well yet, so there will be relief, and there certainly will be some reform coming in there that we hope will help to restrain increasing property taxes going forward.
All right, so like you said, definitely going to be one of those to watch, and it could be one of those that get resolved late at night or early in the morning, depending on how things go on the last day of the session. Could be one of those final bills that get the final vote.
Certainly could be.
All right, and then Mr. Speaker, one other bill that came up this past week that could have an effect in our region, of course, has to do with a rural grocery store grant program that was sent to the governor.
Yeah, there's been several bills having to do with, you might say, trying to help revitalize our rural communities. One of them was the grocery store grant, is to try to help mitigate the issues with food deserts where, you know, people have to drive 30, 40, 50 miles just to get to a grocery store. So this money will go to help facilitate, hopefully, either grocery stores staying open or opening a grocery store. But so that's, you know, especially in my district, you know, we have a lot of very small communities, and it's certainly extremely hard to be profitable having a grocery store in these small communities, because you just don't have enough base to keep them going. So that's part of what that grant will do. And I know there was $5 million basically to help revitalize rural communities in a bill that's still alive and floating out there. So, and there's additional money was put in for housing directed for smaller rural communities. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking at trying to maintain the viability of our smaller communities, because they're important, and in the reality, keeping them alive reduces the property tax burden overall, because we already have infrastructure into these communities. They have sewer and water and roads. If they die, they're going to move into the larger communities, who are then going to have to build more infrastructure to handle the influx. So I think from a lot of our perspective, keeping these small communities viable is critical to the overall health of the state.
And I would imagine, Mr. Speaker, now from here on out, a lot of the action at the legislature is going to be happening in conference committees.
Yes, and to give a little explanation on how that works, every bill that's introduced gets heard and voted on, and it's called the House of Origin. So if I introduce a bill in the House, it has its hearing to get voted on. If it's passed, it goes over to the Senate. They'll have a hearing and vote on it. If it passes there and they haven't changed anything, then the bill just goes into law and for the governor's signature. But a lot of times, the Senate looks at my House bill, makes some changes for whatever reasons, and then that bill comes back to the House. And so they take a look at it and say, they can either say, yeah, we like the changes, so we'll concur with what the Senate did, and then we'll vote on the bill again. But oftentimes, they'll look at it and say, no, we don't agree. So then it goes into what's called a conference committee. There's three members from the Senate and three members from the House are on every conference committee. They get appointed by the committee chairman. And then their job is to sit down and try to resolve the differences. In some cases, after discussion, they might agree with the other House's changes. In some cases, let's say it's a money issue. Maybe the Senate wanted $200,000 for something. The House wanted $100,000. They might say, you know what, let's split the difference. We'll do 150, and then they resolve the conference committee. So there's a lot of conference committees already. As Speaker, I appoint them as far as officially so that they can operate. And then when they're done, they have to come back and then give their reports. Then we vote on the report if we agree with what the conference committee did. If we do, then we vote on the bill again. So bills get a lot of scrutiny. It's not necessarily just one and done. I mean, a particular bill may get looked at several times before it's finally passed and sent to the governor. So this is the time of conference committees now that all the bills have been voted on by the original chamber, whether it's the Senate or the House. Now we're trying to resolve the differences. And in some cases, we just can't seem to come to any agreement, and so one chamber or the other will just kill the bill. Decide they don't like the changes enough that they'd rather kill the bill, then pass it with those changes. So there's a lot of that negotiating going on back and forth, and that's sometimes where things can get a little strong disagreements between parties.
Right.
And then sometimes you have to replace conference committee members to let them cool down a little, but it's part of the process. And I think some people may look at it as being kind of, we're wasting time and everything else, but surely, we're trying to, if we're going to pass something, trying to give the best product we can. I mean, we're not necessarily going to agree on what that is always, but I think the more time you look at something, answer the criticisms there might be, and can deal with them, make changes, better it's going to be for the citizens of North Dakota.
Well, Mr. Speaker, we know you're very busy down there at the Capitol, and we appreciate you taking time out this morning to join us this week to bring us up to date on what's been happening with some of the key issues there as you head into the final weeks of the session and with the plans to hopefully adjourn by the end of April.
I'm glad I could be on.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode. This week, my guest has been the Speaker of the North Dakota House, Representative Robin Weiss, District 14, Hertzfield. And, of course, you can join us each Saturday for the legislative update on KZZY and KDLR.